Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
It's 10 a.m. Sunday morning, April 29th, 2012. Do you know where your children are? This is the master plan. I am JT, and the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'm looking forward to this show. Hopefully, I will have a good show. And you know, this is a master plan.
And get in touch with EFC. Give them the message, give them a red alert. Tell them I need them, tell them it's time to work. Tell them I'm home, thinking of my profits. Going out in the world to teach knowledge to the brothers and sisters that don't know about the mother, about the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YZ is worth thinking of a master plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thinking up the master plan, and that's where you're at right now. It's 10 a.m., like I said, on a fine, sunny, Sunday morning in the Northeast. In the Northeast also took place for the last 3 days. Some young men from trying to get to the next level in the football world were selected in the 2012 NFL football draft. Anybody who's a football fan probably was not, I would say, glued to the set for the last 3 days, especially for the first day, which was the first round of the NFL draft. And quite naturally, the first two picks were quarterbacks, one going to Indianapolis, meaning Andrew Luck, the second one going to the D.C., the nation's capital, RG3. Some people call him Kermit. I'm not going to disparage the man. I mean, the man can play the game, can play the position of football, and he's going to take his talents to the D.C. area, who in dire need of a quarterback and a dynamic quarterback, and hopefully, God willing, that he plays well in that D.C. area. But the third pick, which was a very interesting thing that happened on draft day, as people know, that followed the draft, the third pick was a swap between the Cleveland Browns and the which was in the fourth pick, who had the fourth pick in the 2012 draft, and the Minnesota Vikings, who had the third pick in the draft. They swapped positions. Minnesota picked up additional picks by swapping with Cleveland. So Cleveland wanted to ensure that they would be able to get the player that they coveted, and that was the running back from Alabama, meaning Trent Richardson. And the reason I'm saying that, and the reason I'm going in that direction, because this focus of this program has to do with the running back. Now, everyone says that the running back has been diminished, the role of the running back has been diminished. Diminished, because the so-called quarterback-driven league. I understand that it's a more of a passing game. I understand that, but me, myself, and I'm an old school guy. In about a week from now, I'll have another birthday, and I've always believed for a long time the foundation of a good offense is a running game. In that case, that has to do with a running back. And I always firmly believe in having a quality running back to for your foundation. It helps to have a decent to adequate quarterback, but you need a running back that's the quarterback's best friend, absolutely best friend, especially a young quarterback. But besides the tight end, the running back who blocks and who burns the clock – and helps control the game with the running game is the quarterback's best friend. So with that being said, I'm going to focus on the amount of running backs that were chosen in the draft. 21 running backs were chosen in the draft. That's a nice amount. I like that. And in the first round alone, there were three running backs chosen in the first round. Now, it's saying that the running back position has been diminished. I don't believe that. I never have. That's one of the if you play fantasy football, which I do religiously, and I have won championships throughout the years I play fantasy football. So, and I've always laid the foundation first of getting my running back first. But there are people out there, the naysayers, that say that the running back position is not as important when they draft, when they do a draft, just like an NFL draft. The first two picks, what were they? They were quarterbacks. Okay, these are guys that were dynamic quarterbacks. I understand that. But should an NFL team select a running back early in the 2012 draft? Are star running backs still necessary in today's football? Quite naturally, Trent Richardson was picked with the third overall pick. But I'm going to give you some interesting statistics just to throw them out there so I can argue them. And then we'll go from there because I want to break down some of these running backs. That, like I said, there were 21 running backs that were drafted. And then there's a few free agents that are still sitting out there that remain undrafted that will probably get picked up. Now, just because they're free agents doesn't mean they can't stick with a team. They can't star on any of these teams. Speaking of Arian Foster. He was an undrafted. And once he was able to get an opportunity, that's all it takes is an opportunity. He took full advantage of the opportunities. Now he's one of the best running backs in the league, and he got paid this past offseason. Okay, since 2000, there have been 10 running backs selected in the first 10 picks of the draft. And I'm going to run them down to you, and then I'm going to give you a little, some statistics to go with it. In 2000, the number 5 pick was Jamal Lewis that went to the Baltimore Ravens. Same year, in 2000, the number 7 pick was Thomas Jones, who went to the Arizona Cardinals. Go to the 2001, the number 5th pick was LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, who went to the Chargers. 2005, number 2 pick was Ronnie Brown and went to Miami Dolphins. 2005 also, the next two picks are also in 2005. Number 4, Cedric Benson went to Chicago Bears. Number 5, Cadillac Williams went to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then we go to 2006, the number 2 pick, Reggie Bush went to the New Orleans Saints. 2007, the number 7 pick, Adrian Peterson, went to Minnesota Vikings. 2008, the number 4 pick, Darren McFadden, went to the Oakland Raiders. And 2010, the number 9 pick, C.J. Spiller, went to the Buffalo Bills. Why is it such a risk to take a running back that early in the draft? Well, with all those 10 running backs, the total games that they could have played, or whatever, was 953. The total amount of games that they in fact started was 759. They had 28 attempts, 63,069 yards. They acquired running. They had a total of 467 touchdowns. Yards per attempt was 4.19, which is good. Yards a game was 66.1, which is excuse me, which is okay, but it's not really flying off the charts at you. They averaged at least 10 running backs. They averaged a little over 900 yards a game. They were in the passing game also. They had 2,244 receptions, which would equate it to 17,267 yards, 54 touchdowns. They had 11 Pro Bowl appearances, and 7 of them were all pros. Now, listen to this. Combined, those 10 running backs have played 70 seasons in the NFL. Okay? LT accounted for 5 of the Pro Bowls, with Adrian Peterson claiming 4 of them. So that means Adrian Peterson and Adrian Peterson and LaDainian Tomlinson had 9 Pro Bowl appearances, and of those 10 running backs, total had 11. So those two running backs accumulated for 90%. I would say close to 90% of the Pro Bowl appearances. Together, they had averaged 4.9 years with their original teams. Okay, so they were with their teams because, you know, the running back takes a beating. So they were with their teams a little less than 5 years, with LT quite naturally being with San Diego for 9. And CJ Spiller only started with his team, the Buffalo Bills, and he's only been 2 years. Two running backs, that would be Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson, only spent 3 years with the team that drafted them before they went to other teams. Thomas Jones went to the Bears, and then he ended up with the Jets, and then he went with the Kansas City Chiefs. Cedric Benson started with the Chicago Bears, and then he pretty much busted out there, and he went to the Cincinnati Bengals, where he really made his mark, I should say. Of those 70 seasons, we're talking about injuries now, there was 1,120 possible games that could have been played by these players. However, they only started 953 of those games. Just like I said before, meaning they missed 50% of the possible games, or an average of 2.4 games per season, and they have only started 67.7% of the games over that period. Now, for a top 10 pick at a position that is seen as one of the easiest to transition from college to pros, I understand that's not a very high percentage. I understand that. Now, quite naturally, the Dolphins, you would think, would be looking for a running back also, but they did draft one, but they drafted one down a little further down in the draft. With that being said, now I got that, and that paints a picture, not a grim picture, but it paints a picture and gives validation, I guess, to those people who say that a running back is not as important as it used to be. I beg to differ. I told you that I beg to differ. Now, what I wanted to do is this. I have a list of the running backs that got drafted. I have a list of where they got drafted at, and quite naturally to what team. So I want to break down each one of these running backs, and hopefully I have enough time. Like I said, I'm talking about, what did I say, about 21 running backs? Is that what I told you people? Yeah, 21 running backs that got drafted in yesterday's NFL draft. And we'll see what happens, okay? Quite naturally, the first one I'm going to go to is the number 3 pick in the NFL draft, Trent Richardson. What can I say about this guy? I don't know if he went to the ideal place. This is the black and blue division in the NFC North. He's compact. Explosive, powerful, and balanced. He is heady and he's instinctual, and he runs with patience enough to wait for blocks, and quick enough to cut back to daylight. He can break arm tackles. He has physical leverage against blitzes. That's his positives. The negatives, he may have more problems getting to the perimeter at the next level. I think he's better suited to run in between the tackles versus trying to run outside the tackles, trying to run out in space. He's able to catch the ball. He's a three down back. Let me put it that way. He's a three down back, and I'm with a young quarterback, whether it's Brandon Whedon, who the Cleveland Browns drafted later in the draft, or Colt McCoy, if he happens to stay there. I would think that this would be a one of the times, I wouldn't say one of the times, I think this guy is going to be the bell cow. Let me put it that way. Plain and simple, this guy is going to get the ball, and he's going to either get the ball running or he's going to get the ball in space with dump ball pass like Ray Rice or LeSean McCoy. They're going to find ways to get my boy Trent Richardson the ball. He's definitely, in my opinion, and rookie running backs are shaky at best. But Trent Richardson, in my opinion, is this: if you're not looking for a quarterback, and I'm floating this toward the fantasy football type of thing, if you're not looking for a quarterback later rounds, if you're in a 12-team league, I wouldn't hesitate of taking Trent Richardson late in a fantasy football draft. I think this kid's going to excel. They're going to give this kid the opportunity to make some noise in the NFL because this guy's built like that. Let's move on to one of my co-hosts' favorite, I wouldn't say favorite, but one of my favorite running backs. It would be Doug Martin of Boise State, who I think he got to another good ideal position. I feel that Doug Martin is eventually going to take over for LeGarrette Blount, because LeGarrette Blount is a very limited, extremely limited running back. That's exactly what he does. He just runs the ball. For lack of a better word, he has hands of stone. Doug Martin, in my opinion, is a three down back. He can block. He can run the ball in and out of the tackles. He's that versatile, and he can also catch the ball. He was highly productive with Boise State when he was there. And he has a lot of experience, and he's very reliable when he was in Boise State. I think he'll be just as reliable with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's not explosive, but he's good in all facets. Like I said, he can block. He can run in and out of the tackles. He can run in space, or he can run between the tackles. He's that versatile, and he can catch the ball. So I think he got into an ideal position and a probably one of the better positions to be able to be the prime time back in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. Let's transition into one of my hosts, one of my co-hosts, and I see him in the chat room. yes, my brother Black. I'm about to talk to him right now. We're talking about David Wilson. I don't know how. Well, he pretty much fell in the lap of the world champs. David Wilson, Virginia Tech, happens to be one of my co-hosts' favorite back. He was thoroughly shocked and disappointed that David Wilson went to the division rivalry because Black, who I'm talking about, who's my co-host on a Thursday show, which is the FSP Crew show, is a die-hard for life Dallas Cowboy fan, and David Wilson jumped into a hell of a position to get with the world champions. He's extremely explosive. Quick off the snap, quickly accelerates. He's a powerful back. David Wilson is going to make a difference, big difference, because Ahmad Bradshaw is not the type of back that's going to be able to sustain himself for a 16-game season. So, David Wilson, welcome to the welcome to New York. Welcome to the World Champs. You will get utilized as long as you stay healthy. There is a strong chance that you're going to be getting a lot of work, my man. A lot of work. You may be even be sooner or later maybe the prime time back, since the back that's in front of you is not the most durable back. So just remember that. The most important thing is that you got to learn how to block, my man. You got to learn how to block and be more patient and let your blocks come to you. Sometimes his feet are too quick and not patient enough to let his blocks take place before he can make his next move. But I like David Wilson a lot. I don't know if my Black is going to comment on him. All I can see is that he typed his name in. Black, if you're listening, give me something that you like about David Wilson. Give me some insight on David Wilson. Give me whatever you want. I'm listening to you. All right. Let's move on. You know, let's move on. We're talking about running backs. I love to talk about running backs, and we'll move on to Miami. Now, I'm not sure. I love this guy. I absolutely love this guy. Nice size, 5'11", 212. Of the backs we talked about, this is the bigger back, taller back, maybe not weight-wise, but he's the taller back of the first three backs that we were talking about. I love this guy. I think this guy is going to excel extremely. I think this guy is going to sell extremely well in Miami. But it's a curious pick. The reason I'm saying this is yes and no. Let me put it this way. Because the two backs that are going to be ahead of him, or supposedly ahead of him, now he got picked in the three backs that we're talking about. All these backs got picked in different parts of the first round, except for Lamar Miller. Trent Richardson got quite naturally picked third. Doug Martin got picked 31st to the Buccaneers, and David Wilson got picked by the World Champs, who got the 32nd pick. Well, the next guy I just talked about is Lamar Miller. I may be jumping around here, but Lamar Miller got picked in the fourth round. Now, I don't know why, in my opinion, that the I can see it and I can't see it. Let me put it this way. Because the fact is, Reggie Bush is not the most durable back, for one. and Daniel Thomas wasn't. He got hurt a few times, supposedly because he wasn't in shape when he first started in the season. So you don't know what you're going to get with these guys. These guys may be in and out of the lineup throughout the season. Maybe that's why they got Lamar Miller. It only makes sense to me because unless this guy gets on the field, unless he completely bombs out in OTAs and training camp, this guy should be an every down back. This guy should absolutely be playing. And I don't know if they're going to be running a New Orleans Saints type of offense, running backs in and out like a conveyor belt, or if they're going to stick to one running back. You don't know what the mindset of the new regime in the Dolphins is going to be, but I like this guy a lot. His positives are this. He has track speed. In fact, he actually ran an anchor for the Miami track team prior to his junior year, so he's got some speed. He's best probably used in open field. He's definitely a threat to take the distance, but he's not just a straight line runner. He's quick off the snap, and he's quick into tight areas. We'll wait and see what happens. It's very important to see how it shakes out in the Dolphin backfield because, like I said, this is a curious pick for me. I would think that they got in the fourth round, but Lamar Miller, I think, unless he gets on the field on a consistent basis, I think his talents are going to get wasted, unfortunately. I like this guy a lot. I think he was probably, in my opinion, the fourth best back wanted to be in the draft. Quite naturally, the guys I'm talking about, Trent Richardson, top, Doug Martin, and David Wilson, they're right behind them. I thought Lamar Miller was right there, and I like Lamar Miller. I like his size. I like his height and size a lot. But he went to the Dolphins, and I don't think that's a good fit for him. Now, the next two guys I'm going to be talking about are going to be guys that got picked in the second round. The first one is Isaiah Peed. He's 5'10", 197 pounds. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. 5'10", 197. What numbers does that strike you as? How about Chris Johnson? How about Jamal Charles? How about Tywan Jones? I'm trying to think of who else. All the three guys I've talked to you about all have the same height and weight approximately. So Isaiah Peed, I don't know if he's going to be used as a change of pace, but my man has got some speed to him. You know Cincinnati Bengals are going to be running the ball. He's explosive. He's great in space. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. He didn't go to Cincinnati. He went to Rams. And the Rams are going to benefit from that greatly because Steven Jackson is a pounder. He's a dynamic back, but he's got a lot of tread on the tires. We're talking about Isaiah Peed on the turf, which his speed is going to be even more explosive. And remember, they're trying to protect Sam Bradford. And then you do that in a number of ways. Nobody is behind Steven Jackson. So you get this kid the ball in space. I guarantee you this guy is going to be explosive, electrifying running back. He's producing all areas. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can make guys miss, turn upfield, and score. I love you know what? These teams have done their homework, even though they've supposedly devalued a running back. Jeff Fisher is one guy that says, I haven't devalued a running back. I like the running back position. And he's held true because the fact is, he's found ways when he was in Tennessee, when he was a coach for all those years in Tennessee, he had some dynamite running backs, ending with his last running back that's still there, Chris Johnson. And what has Chris Johnson done? Chris Johnson has put himself on the map. Jeff Fisher has helped him do that because of the fact they have featured the running back as the main crux of the position. Isaiah Pede is not long to be the starting running back. If you have Steven Jackson, if you draft Steven Jackson, I suggest you use Isaiah Pede on a position on your fantasy football team. I know this is a long way away, but I'm telling you, people right now, that this is one of the things you need to think about. Fantasy football, in my opinion, I said this on the FSB Cruise show to my co-hosts. I feel the football season starts when the NFL draft starts or finishes. That's how I feel. I feel the fantasy football season never stops because there's information year-round to help you gain an advantage in fantasy football. And with that being said, I'm going to go to a commercial. Where the heck is it at? Going to go to a commercial real quick, and then after the commercial comes back, we'll talk a little bit more running backs.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase, hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos. Starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there. Be there. Be there.
I want winners.
That's what we're talking about, people. We're talking about winners. We're talking about running backs right now. And let's move on. Now, this is one of the most, in my opinion, I really don't like this pick. My host of yesterday's show and my co-host, they liked it. They thought this was a pretty good move. I'm not of that same opinion. And I could be wrong. The running back from Oregon, short in stature, like a Darren Sproles type, slight in build. I'm talking about LaMichael James from the Oregon Ducks. Went to the San Francisco 49ers, the 29th pick in the second round. I can't see it. I understand the fact that they're probably going to use him as a change of pace or a third down back, something along with Darren Sproles type of thing. I don't think this kid, I don't know. I mean, you got a lot of running backs here. You got Kendall Wright, you got Frank Gore, you got Brandon Jacobs, and now you have LaMichael James. That's a lot of running backs. That's a lot of running backs to have. Plus, you have Randy Moss, you have Mario Manningham, and you drafted another wide receiver, and I could be leaving someone else out, but which way is this offense going? Is it going to go to the ground like it was last year and occasionally go to the air? Or is it going to go to the air and occasionally use the running back? I don't understand. I understand that if you start throwing the ball, Michael James may be a good player because he is very dynamic in space. He's, like I said, a Darren Sproles type of guy. But you got a lot of mouths to feed here. You have a lot of mouths to feed. How effective is this kid going to be jumping in and out of the lineup? You know, a lot of these running backs need to be in the lineup for a certain amount of time to get a rhythm going, to get a feel for how the game is flowing. This guy is a third down, change of pace guy. I understand he can hit a home run, but and the 49ers didn't generate a lot of yards on offense. And this guy gives them the ability to hit a home run anywhere in the park. But how often is he going to get on the field? You got all those running backs. How often is he going to get on the field to be effective? I mean, he's quick and decisive back. Like I said, he's good in open space. He can get to full speed quickly. But he's had fumbling issues throughout his career. So, I don't know. I question that pick. I really, really question that pick. He's a dynamic player, but I question the pick going to the 49ers because the fact is there's a lot of mouths to feed. Let's move down to another smallest back, and they definitely need a backup or someone to possibly pull the load because the fact is Rashad Mendenhall got hurt. You don't know how healthy he is going to come back from his knee injury. I'm talking about Chris Rainey, who went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy is a change of pace type of runner with a burst, and he's explosive. He's got real good speed. He does upgrade the backfield in Pittsburgh, but he's a straight line runner. He can make the defenders miss, but he's undersized, and he shows it when he tries to run inside or pass protect. So, and one of the key things that the Steelers need is somebody to pass protect because of the porousness. Is that a word? But if it isn't, I just made it up. Of the Steelers' offensive line. So he does need to be able to block, but he's the smallest type of guy, so how well can he do? So we'll have to see. He's a change of pace type of back. I think they needed somebody more durable, somebody more powerful in the backfield. Well, like I said, these teams get paid a hell of a lot more than I do to make these decisions. Then we go. Excuse me. Then we go to. Oh my God. Then we go to what the Ravens did. They got a pretty big back, 6 feet, 218-pound guy out of Temple, Bernard Pierce. Now, I have to admit, I don't know too much about this guy. I really don't. He's a big back, bigger than Ray Rice, that's for sure. I guess they're going to use him just to take the load off of Ray Rice when and if Ray Rice decides to sign his tender because he hasn't signed his tender yet. And but he's an upright one cut runner. He has good feel for working between the tackles. He's a natural mover, so he can move the 6 foot, 218 pounds. He should be able to move the pile. But like I said, he's a big guy. He runs upright. He's got average speed. And he's not good in pass protect. So he's just a spot. I would say a spot. He's just going to take some carries. And just like I said previously, he's going to spell Ray Rice from time to time. Just to give him a breather. His big thing, in my opinion, his big thing is being able to pass protect, to protect Joe Flacco. That's going to be key for this guy to be able to excel at the next level. We'll move on to Cyrus Gray. Now, this is along the same lines. It's just a little bit more stouter built. 5'10", 206. He went to the Chiefs. I don't know if he may be a project type of guy, but you got Peyton Hillis, you got Jackie Battle, and you got, quite naturally, Jamal Charles coming from an injury. Then now you got Cyrus Gray. He's a sixth-round pick. He's an underrated runner. He's got good vision and cutback skills. He catches the ball well out of the backfield, and he can contribute to the Chiefs' offense as a change of pace weapon. Okay, and I'm also forgetting Dexter McCluster. So you got a vast array of running backs that they're going to be running in and out, and when prior coach was there, and I forget his name, Todd Haley was there. He was using a three running back rotation. I don't think Romeo Crennel is going to do that, but you have a lot of running backs: Dexter McCluster, Jamal Charles, Peyton Hillis, and if Jackie Battle is still there, then you have, along with this guy, four running backs, all different type of styles. Dexter McCluster and this guy are change of pace type backs. Dexter McCluster probably being the quickest of the two, with Jamal Charles quite naturally being the lead back. So I don't know if you're going to be able to get a good read on how they're going to shake out this running back position in the Kansas City Chiefs. If this guy sticks and you have those other three to four running backs on the team also, it's going to be a very crowded backfield and very rotational. The big key is this, and Black, if you listen, the big key is this, because I know you're a Jamal Charles fan just like myself. The big key is if Jamal Charles comes back and he's 100% or 90% because he's coming back from an ACL. Fortunately and unfortunately, he had it early in the season. It gives him a lot better time and a lot more a lot better reason to think that he's going to be in better shape off the ACL because he had it so early in the season that come the start of the season that he'll be ready to jump in there and do his thing. But if all these running backs are on the squad, my fear is that they're going to be doing a rotation type thing, and that takes away, fantasy-wise, if you play fantasy football, that takes away the numbers for any of these running backs because they'll be rotating him so much. My bet is still on the number one back, which would be Jamal Charles, but you got Peyton Hillis that they picked up, and you got Jackie Battle, Dexter McCluster, and also this guy, Cyrus Gray. He may be a sixth round, but just because he's been drafted in the sixth round doesn't mean he can't stick in and be a factor in the backfield. Moving on, we move down to the next guy I'm talking about, which would be Ronnie Hillman, who got drafted by the Broncos. Now, he got drafted in the fourth round. This could be an ideal position for this guy for the simple reason I'm just reading, happen to be reading something that Black's he has been relaying to me about Derek Rose. Anyway, Ronnie Hillman. We got Willis McGahee, No Sean Marino and I'm trying to think, what's this guy's name? Fannin. I forget his first name. This guy may have a shot. This guy, 5'9", 200 pounds. He must be built like a bowling ball. I don't know too much about this guy. He comes in out of San Diego State, which is the home of Marshall Faulk. He's another third down change of pace back who, like a lot of these guys, has the ability to make you miss. He's what you call instant offense for the Broncos in the screen game and the check down game. If they use this guy, Peyton Manning's going to love him because Peyton Manning loves check down. Loves one of the things he doesn't hesitate to do is check down to the running back. And we'll see what happens. He can catch the ball out of backfield quite naturally. Most of these change of pace backs are like that. They can catch the ball. He's averaged about 5.5 yards a carry in a senior year, but we're talking about moving to the next level. He's not going to be running with power. I mean, he's 200 pounds. He's 5'9", but we'll see. We'll see what happens and how to use it. But I'm not too much up on this guy. Anyway, moving on. We'll go to in the fourth round also. The Seattle Seahawks picked up this guy, Robert Turbin. He's 5'10", 222 pounds out of Utah State.
Excuse me for a minute.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that. This guy's a big physical runner. 5'10", 222 pounds. My type of back. This guy is can spell Marshawn Lynch in short yardage situations. He's going to compete. He's going to put some pressure, even though Marshawn Lynch is the featured back. This guy's a thumper inside. He can be more of a third down back, but he's a thumper. 222, 5'10". This guy is a classic downhill runner. And quite naturally, he should be able to run through linebackers. He should be able to run through linebackers and carry the pile. He can catch the ball. But the problem is here is that he may be able to catch the ball, but his technique in blocking, pass blocking, tends to get him off balance. And he can get blown back by a pass rusher. So that's his main thing. So, you know, these guys, they may have attributes. They may have things that they do well. One of the key things that these new running backs have to be able to do is they have to be able to protect their quarterback. They have to be able to pass block. So... Robert Turbin, you have the size and weight to succeed. You have to apply your apply yourself and be able to pass block because you're going to need that to be able to hang on. Especially with the Seahawks. It is what it is. We'll move on. Seventh round. And the reason I'm going back and forth on what rounds these guys were picked, I'm going to how I see these guys' ability or how I grade them out or how I think these guys should be. Edwin Baker, he got picked by the Chargers in the seventh round, 250th in the seventh round. Good luck, my man. You're going to have to really excel to hang on being a seventh-round pick. I hate to say it like that. I understand you're a hard-nosed runner, but you're basically a change of pace. You're 5'8", 205. You don't have a quick acceleration. And that's a weakness for you. You're not too strong. You're not too explosive, and you're going to struggle to make plays on your own. Only thing I can tell you is that you better be able to catch the ball in space, and try to make guys miss in order for you in the seventh round pick to be able to hang on. Quite naturally, you're going to compete with whoever's in the backfield, including Ryan Matthews, to get touches. But we'll see what happens. You got about 8 minutes left in this show. Okay? Yes, my brother, I know Matt Kemp... I've been trying to get Matt Kemp from Vic on his fantasy baseball team, and he won't let him go. Matt Kemp happens to be a beast. Anyway, where are we at now? With Robert Turbin going to Edwin Baker, Terrence Gannaway. Now it's fitting that near the end of the show, excuse me, that one of the picks that I pick, one of the running backs I take is Terrence Gannaway. My opinion is this. Now this, the reason I'm saying this is a Jet pick. They picked this guy up in the sixth round, 6 feet, 239 pounds, and they call this guy a running back? Sounds like a fullback to me, but Terrence Gannaway, he's a big back. He's a hard-nosed downhill runner with a burst. Let me put it this way. He's quite naturally, you know that, 6 feet, 239 pounds. He's a huge back, and he plays that way. He's very quick out of the stance to hit the hole for such a big back, but he also shows patience and savvy to let plays develop for him. I'm reading this from he can catch the ball. He ran a lot of polished routes out of the backfield for RG3. But supposedly, he is a passive player. Doesn't look to deliver a blow with his body, and he's a dancer, waiting too long for a play to develop. So supposedly he needs to be able to hit the hold. Yeah, right. Jets. No way. He won't be able. He needs to be decisive, hitting the hole. And once he sees the hole, decisive enough to stop dancing and assert himself through the hole. But I'm trying to think here. Let me see. I'm going to go to, let me see, we got 5 minutes left in the show. I'm going to see if I can go to and see who else here that I may like. Oh, okay. This guy. The Rams, they also in the seventh round, along with Isaiah Pede, who had the same, about the same height, weight, and speed, height. And wait, as this next guy I'm going to talk about, is this Darryl Richardson from Abilene Christian. The reason I'm saying this, 5'10", 192 pounds, same like Jamal Charles, Chris Johnson type body frame. I'm thinking this guy, Abilene Christian, he's got nothing but pure speed behind him. Abilene Christian, when he from teams like that, we're talking about speed. This guy is a small school standout. He's unpolished. He's going to be need able to step his game up, particularly if he's going to be able to stick on to the Rams. He's probably got some ability, but he's going to need to apply himself in all phases in order to be able to stay and hang around with the big boys, per se. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. There's a lot of backs that haven't been picked that are still out there. Davin Meggett, for one. I'm trying to think of Chris Polk got picked up, and I'm trying to find out the name of the team that picked up. He's a running back, 5'10", 215 out of Washington, which I'm surprised he didn't get picked up. But surprised he didn't get drafted. But he got picked up. I'm trying to think what team picked him up. Talking about him, Chris Polk, because he has an ideal size to carry the load in the NFL. He's an agile athlete, powerful back. He's patient, has smooth footwork. One of his weaknesses, though, he displayed elite ability on his last year, but was a slow developer up to that point. He's a decent blocker in pass protection, but he struggles with his technique. Abilene Christian is not a high school. Abilene Christian is a college in Texas. Black. He doesn't have elite speed, but 5'10", 215 pounds. I like Chris Polk. Like I said, I'm not exactly sure where he went. Let me see if I can find out before we go off the air. See where Chris Polk went. Polk. Bear with me for a minute. I'm trying to bring it up here. Oh, Chris Polk. Signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, so the Philadelphia Eagles picked up Chris Polk. And they also picked up a bruising back here. Let me just bring it back here real quick. We got about a minute left in the show. They picked up a bruising back near the end of the draft. Who was it? They picked up in the seventh. They picked up Bryce Brown. He's 6 foot, 223 pounds, to the Eagles. Bryce Brown is a project, in my opinion. He's a big physical runner who could provide an added dimension to the Eagles' backfield as an inside runner. I don't think too much of Bryce Brown. He's going to have to show something in the passing game in order to hang on with the Eagles. Well, this comes to the end of the master plan. Unfortunately, I was hoping one of my guests would call in, but he hasn't. Hopefully, I can get him on the air sometime. I'm talking about Mac Williams. I understand his political views are opposite mine. I think it would make for a great debate. Anyway, tune in next week. The Master Plan, starting out the same time, same place, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Sunday. On Tuesday would be the Compassion Dakini with Kim Fung starting at 4 o'clock. And then on Thursday would be the FSP Cruise Show, 8 to 9 o'clock, with myself as the host, myself the host. Myself as the host. Black as the co-host, along with Jeff the Joker. We're going to have a special guest, Dr. Ralph. Dr. Ralph, the name escapes me. I'm sorry. I apologize, Dr. Ralph. And then on the FSP show will be Vic and Black. I will be unavailable. That happens to be my B-Day, my birthday, the day I was born on this earth. I'll be unavailable at the time. But I'll be back on the master plan next week. Till then, as always, I'm going to end this show like I ended in the last 2 weeks. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. That's key. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future. So be careful. I'll say it again and again, how you treat people. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Peace and love and soul. And I'm closing it out with Patrice Rushen. Don't forget me. I'll be back next week.